In the last 7 days, Google announced they've been forced to delay their open-source modular phone, called Project Ara, until 2016 due to issues in its development. Peter Cowley, tech investor, joins us in the studio now to fill us in on the details. Hello, Peter.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. So, a lot of jargon there. Open-source, modular, what do all these words mean?
Yes, so open-source is the concept of nobody owning the development or design and many people contributing to it. It's something that actually was around about 120 years ago when the car industry put together their patents and know-how and allowed everybody to use it. We've probably heard of open source software. Unix is an open source software platform, which is used in many smartphones. But other things that you may not know are open source, are Wikipedia. Some pharmaceutical companies have opened up drug designs to be open source. Scientific journals are becoming open source. And rather very controversially is an open source 3D printed gun.
Oh, wow. Okay. What about modular, though? What do we mean when we say modular?
Modular in the terms of the phone is that the backplane of the phone allows a number of different modules to be put on there, which would be the processor, would be the memory, the cameras, the battery, other things such as medical technology, different forms of speaker, perhaps a better speaker, two speakers, three speakers, all together on this backplane.
Okay, I see. And Google's Project Ara has combined both of these two elements together to make this all singing, all dancing phone, I see.
Exactly, yes. Well, within the constraints of the size of the phone. So what they've done is to have something which they're calling an endoskeleton, which is basically a chunk of metal with some electronics in it, which then allows the modules to be plugged in. And the idea, the current standard for them is 8 modules on the backside, which are things like the processor, etc., and 2 on the front, one of which, of course, is the screen itself. Putting this all together in a way that's going to be relatively cheap and robust and everything is obviously a very big task.
Why do we want modular phones? Why do I want to be able to take it apart and put it back together again?
Good question. In fact, the original idea behind it is not the modularity. It's to try and open up the smartphones to more of the globe. So at the moment, the rough numbers are there are 7 billion people on the planet. 1 billion have smartphones. 5 billion have feature phones, believe it or not. And only 1 billion don't have a phone. The idea is to move these 5 billion to have smartphones, which gives them all kinds of functionality, etc. The upsides are that you can upgrade your phone without having to throw something away, which will use less waste.
So if my battery started to get a bit
rubbish, or there's not enough memory, you don't have to replace your phone every 2 or 3 years or 4 years, so there's less wastage there. You can share modules, so I could lend you my posh camera one, and you could lend it back again. You could lend me your speaker, etc. And also, people can make their own bits. But the downsides are it will be a bit bigger because clearly you've got this backplane in the middle of it. It will almost certainly be a bit more expensive, which doesn't make much sense if you're trying to increase the numbers. And the certification, this is of making it work around the world, will be pretty complicated.
Because I suppose one of the big issues at the moment is all these different phones and things all take different charges. And it's annoying. And I'm also thinking about, I don't know, what happens if the backplate comes off too easily, but you want it to come off reasonably easily so
exactly.
That it can be, so you can change all the bits. So I suppose there's lots of things to be balanced.
Yes, I mean, the rumours of the last week or two were that they were having problems with the backplate. So when you dropped it, all phones have got to go through drop tests, vibration tests, etc. And that these things were pinging out. They've got something really clever called an electropermanent magnet, which effectively you put a little bit of electric current in there and then it's in one state and you put electrical current in again and it then unclips itself.
Cover, so it's not like a button.
No, exactly.
Like
it just fits on there with a bit of, so it's controlled by the software to release it or not. However, those rumours, I think, are wrong, and it sounds like it's more like there's a bit more work to do and that they haven't actually released it yet. The most important thing, though, is whether there is really going to be a market, whether the price is right, whether it's just the early adopters and geeks will be buying it, or whether they can get the half a billion or billion out there.
Surely, though, over time, like with anything, it will just decrease in price as it becomes more available, though.
It will, but if you take any form of manufacturing, if you can make something standard all in one box, then you're more likely to produce it more cheaply if it's very standard. I mean, yes, you're right. If you didn't have a camera on it, you didn't have a speaker on it, maybe, which doesn't make any sense for a phone, etc., then clearly it would be a cheaper phone then, so.
I see. And why has it been delayed?
It's been delayed, as I say, because of the possibly these rumours that it doesn't withstand
the
drop test.
Issue.
Or it's because there's some other functionality we're wanting to add.
I see. Yeah. Okay, so what's the future of this? Is everything suddenly going to become open source and modular? What can I expect
yes,
to see?
Yes, there is a general move towards that. People are wanting personalised products, personalised presents, all kinds of things where you can adapt them yourself. And as 3D printers come out of the business space into the consumer space, that will help as well. But there's a number of areas where open source is being used. There's an open source car, so you can build your own car using components, print your own components. There are drones, robots, there's a number of medical devices, so open source prosthetics. One of the ones that you might be interested in is open source houses. There's actually something called WikiHouse, which is a set of plans which are open source, which people download and then print your own house, which you can then put together. So you can actually build a four-bedroom house in about a week with two people.
Can I think of this like a flat pack house?
It does sound a bit like a certain Swedish company might be producing it, but that's not the case.
And what's different about this? Is it got wires in the walls? Is everything sort of already built in?
No, the idea behind it is that
literally you can just put it out within a week.
Exactly, like exactly. Very easy to do, and then you can modify the design, etc. Add windows where you want to do, etc.
Yeah. Ah, okay. And I suppose the other benefit of this is that by lots of more people using all these bits of technology and designing things themselves, actually you're encouraging them to, I don't know, learn more things about it and get into technology and science subjects.
At the moment, there's a big stranglehold, particularly in mobile phones, with about 5 to 10 big manufacturers. That will release that stranglehold potentially by opening it right up to smaller companies.
Brilliant. Peter Cowley, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Tech Investor.
Thank you.